Hello, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics for this November 14th of 2018. We're going to be talking about comic books as per usual, and I think Bob's going to be eating chicken tenders and drinking beer while we're doing it.
So it's happening.
This could be really unpleasant. So
no, I'll be stealthy about it. I'll wait till Tristan is discussing things he loves, and then I will eat tenders and drink beer.
I will try to.
You better talk a lot.
We'll try to talk at length about this Murder Falcon comic.
Oh man, first up.
All right, first up, Murder Falcon number 2, Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer. Just an excellent book. Everyone knows it's great. There's no, I don't know what to say about this that you wouldn't already know. It's a giant robotic armed falcon with a guy playing metal guitar. And in this, we've put the first part of his band together. He goes to find his old bandmate, and he is on a quest to find the perfect bass to use to combat the monsters that they're fighting. It's pretty goddamned amazing.
Yeah.
And they get a new special pal. A new super friend joins as well.
Yeah, it's really good. I loved it. And having successfully eaten my first tender and drinking my first beer, a sip of beer, I can now comment and say that Murder Falcon, I thought the art was an even more of an improvement on the art of the last issue, which was also amazing. It's a really super fun comic. And yeah. I liked it.
Daniel Warren Johnson is one of my favorite new guys. I'm a huge fan of his artwork.
He's good.
Stoked. It's great. Domino.
Yeah.
Number 8 came out. Hey, it's got vampires in it.
It's got Morbius.
Everybody loves it when you bring up vampires in the Marvel Universe, right?
I don't know.
Nope.
Do they?
Not really.
Oh. Well, this is a bad week for Marvel then.
It really is.
Because it ain't just this Domino.
No, it's not. But this was a really fun issue.
It was super fun. And it was actually, I thought, a really good Morbius story. I think Gail Simone does like a really good job of kind of getting what's fun and good about whatever character and then doing it really well in a comic. So Morbius is not a character that I have ever been particularly super into, but I thought when handled well, he's good, and this issue was super good. And
He's a living vampire?
He's a living vampire, and they get into what that means in an actually pretty interesting way in this, and also there is a sea orca vampire kind of thing.
Yes.
That they fight.
And also, but in real life, the reason he's a living vampire was because at the time, the comics code wouldn't allow you to have undead characters.
Yeah.
And that's pretty funny.
But they had Tomb of Dracula. Because that was separate from it didn't have Spider-Man in it?
Yeah, must have been a non-code comic or something. Okay, everybody. Avengers, number 10. This is technically the 700th issue, which is why it's a billion pages long and costs $6.
It's super long.
It is super long. It has a lot of Drunk Bear in it. Ursa Major is in it. So there's a lot of Soviet super soldier stuff, which I was really stoked about.
Yeah, there's a whole new reformation of the Soviet Winter Guard, which used to be the Soviet super soldiers, but for some reason now they call it the Winter Guard.
Yeah,
because now winter equals Soviet.
Yeah.
Maybe because they're not Soviets anymore.
Definitely digging the two new characters that they threw in here. You've got you've got the Red Widow, and you've got who's the other one?
That demon thing.
Yes,
the god of darkness.
Yes, the Chernabog.
Chernabog.
Like from American Gods. Yes, and the new version of Vanguard and the new version of Darkstar.
But don't forget.
And Volstock.
Yeah. So there's what was cool about this. I didn't think that the story itself, it's like one of these oversized. So there's like a main story and then there's some backup stories.
Two backup stories.
With different art. And so the art style was kind of weird. And the story itself was kind of, I think it's like this was setting up like the Avengers stories to come in the next few months. And it was interesting, and I like the idea of like they're kind of going global with the super soldiers, and Namor is freaking out and killing people for, I didn't really understand why, but it's happening and it doesn't matter why. And he has a team of aquatic guys, and one of them is a crab.
The Defenders of the Deep.
Defenders of the Deep, and one of them is a crab, and he's cool. He's like a really strong crab.
His name is Mr. Crabbins.
I don't think so. I think he had a better, more meaner name than that. But
Mr. Krabs?
Crab cake.
Crab and Goyle.
Warrior. The ultimate crab cake. I don't know what he's called. Anyway, he's a crab. And there's other guys. And there was some piranha men.
Yep.
But anyway, so there's this big whole thing where it's just basically like half of the issue is just a fight. But then at the end, in one of the stories, you get Secret Agent Wasp, which I thought was really a very interesting take on Wasp, because why wouldn't someone who was able to shrink be a really good secret agent? And she's finding the newest Avenger, the newest member
of the
Avenger.
I'm so excited.
And Tristan is very excited.
I'm so excited.
If you read it.
It ties into vampire stuff.
Well,
you'll never guess who it is.
Okay. Don't tell them.
I'm not telling anybody.
All right.
What I am telling you is
talk about
that,
something you love so I can eat a chicken tender.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Infinity Warps number one. Okay. So here we have... I thought this was a really fun book. It was silly. It's basically like getting a spare Squirrel Girl comic. You get Moon Squirrel and Tippy Soar, which is, of course, a combination of Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Written by Ryan North from Squirrel Girl comic fame.
And so Moon Girl is also Squirrel Girl, and Tippy Toe is also Moon Devil Dinosaur.
Yeah, it was one of the more logical Infinity Warps. Most of them have been kind of just like, why would you combine Ms. Marvel and Kang? But this one was like, okay, of course you would combine Squirrel Girl and Moon Girl.
Yeah. I also
their
really,
names both end in girl.
I also like the Fantastic Four. You have Hot Rocks.
I like Hot Rocks. I gotta say, I think Hot Rocks is kind of brilliant. And I will say also about this, Todd Nauk is the artist, and he's just like that guy that always, he was a Young Justice artist, and he's just got that style, and he can hit deadlines, but I don't love his art style, but I loved his art in that issue. I thought it was really good,
so
the Hot Rock is the Fantastic Four, but it's just Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm, but they have all the powers of the Fantastic Four, and Ben Grimm definitely makes out, because he gets... the flame and the rocks, and then Johnny Storm gets the stretch and the invisible, which is kind of a weird combo, but that was that part. And then I think there was another one too. Oh yeah, there was Green Widow, which is She-Hulk and Black Widow, and there was and that was Hellcat and something else, and I couldn't tell who Hellcat was merged with.
Mr. Invisible, that's what he was called.
Correct.
Mr. Fantastic.
You aced the quiz.
Oh, nice. Okay, a really good tie-in to Spider-Geddon is Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, 312. This was a really, really fun book. You get a lot of Peter just being Peter, even though it's one of those life or death kind of stories. You still get a lot of character stuff out of this one. This book is always good. But sometimes it gets a little tied up in doing funky stuff. This is very straightforward, very much this is an absolute direct tie-in to the Spider-Geddon. It's a fairly important story to the overall story arc. So I would say probably read it if you're reading the rest of them.
It's funny because we've read all of the Spider-Geddons for the podcast, or I say we in the royal we. But this was, I thought, one, it had gravity that the main series kind of doesn't have, and was good.
I just like Peter being self-sacrificing. And
but it
like,
was a big Miles, yeah. too. Like,
it was also,
Jonah.
Miles
and,
is great.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a lot of good Jonah stuff in this, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool redemption for Jonah going on right now in the Marvel Universe, which I think is fun.
Yeah. I like Jonah as spider ally. And I think it's one of the more intriguing current Spider-Man.
And like repentant spider ally.
Yeah,
he's like,
oh, God, I've been a dick.
I've been
for
such
my
a
whole
dick.
Fucking life.
And it's like, because you can't just have a character that stagnant for that long. It's fun to have it turn around. He can be the old J. Jonah Jameson, but it's nice to have this crazy repentance.
Mm. Also Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing number 9.
Number 9.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was Spider-Man and the Black Cat, and of course there's weird stuff about why I don't. It's if
this,
you if
this
you,
story arc sense, is bizarre.
If you read the first story arc where there were two different versions of Spider-Man, you understand why this issue is weird. If you don't understand why that's relevant to a good Spider-Man comic, you might be like, "Ah, this isn't for me." But
I mean, the part that's weird is just the so last issue, everyone had something stolen from them, and that's about it. And now we're set up to this point where it's like. They're going on an adventure to find it all, I guess. They're going to the Guild of Thieves or whatever.
They found some kind of Alibaba's cave of like fantastic cars. It was kind of neat. But, you know, just kind of throw away Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah.
Fun. If you like Spider-Man, it's not going to offend you.
But what is very exciting for me, Tony Moore did Thor this week.
Nugget time.
So number seven, Thor, we got... all Tony Moore artwork all the way through. And I mean, as much as I love the original, the run, it was getting real hard to figure out what the fuck was going on because of the artwork. And it's really nice to have just a very clear, concise art style that's not so swirly and amorphous, because that last thing was just like, it was an ocean of colors and you could barely make out who was who. And obviously the art was super cool, but it worked with Weird World, not so much with Thor.
Yeah, I have a hard time with it because I really like Mike Del Mundo, who is the main guy. And then I also like Christian Ward, who did the last couple and was a little bit more clear, but it's kind of out there. Like, I love the level of pink that's going on in Thor and how they're kind of really embracing like the color scheme of the Gladiator Thor from the movies and whatnot. But this is a one shot and it's young Thor. And I think that kind of is the overall thing with Aaron and what he's doing, where there's old Thor and young Thor and regular now Thor.
And I mean, with his original run, it was that. And then there's like War Thor and there was Odin Thor.
Right. So
or
this
all
is
all Father Thor or whatever they wanted.
This is a very smart story about why Thor learned to love Earth and also why Loki is a complete shit. And I liked it. It was good.
Yeah.
And Tony Moore's art was really good and crisp and just welcome. This
and
was
God
a good
damn
issue.
It, I want Tony Moore to do more complete issues.
Yeah.
He needs to come back to doing ongoing series. I just friggin' love him. And
he's good.
Also
he good.
And at the same time, we get a nice throwback. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler. Venom number 8. Mm. There's a throwback in this to Tony Moore's run on Venom, to the old Remender series with Flash.
We get a little
tribute to the Flash and Agent Venom.
And
it
changed to the so they're really going like Moon Knight with Venom, where like all the previous hosts have a voice, and then they bring Flash Thompson into it. And if that's a spoiler,
well,
I'm sorry.
That's a pretty big spoiler, but also I don't think it's going forever.
No, it didn't necessarily
I don't feel like that's going to be part of the character. I feel like they kind of...
So I knew this was a Flash Thompson-centric episode of Venom before I read it because of press, which is why I didn't feel terrible.
That's true.
Talking about it. And I also really... There's an awesome splash page in this... with one of my favorite lines of the week where it says Flash Thompson was a badass Venom.
And I think, again, that's like, this is why Donny Cates is just killing it at Marvel, is because he's capable of finding these characters, getting to their core, just representing them perfectly, and then paying tribute to what happened before in such a fun, like respectful and awesome way. Where it's like, hey, I just want to mention, I know I'm doing this, I know we're changing back to Eddie Brock, but I just want to mention to you, dude, the Remender run ruled. Okay, just that's out of the way. I actually mentioned it in the comic. You know, I thought that was cool.
I think Venom, Flash Thompson Venom, was like really one of the best takes Venom. It was Agent Venom was really cool. And I loved the modern take on Flash Thompson in general. And it was cool because this kind of ties that to... Like you said, you said it better than I did.
Well, you know what's better than everything.
Better than what?
I don't know. Better than any Uncanny X-Men series for a really long time.
Has there been an Uncanny X-Men series in a really long time?
The last few that I've read have been terrible. So
this one was good. I love, speaking of artists I love, Marvel has done a good job in getting Mahmoud Asrar as a regular staple.
Yep.
And putting him on X-Men is a great idea. It was cool. There were so many familiar X-Men faces in this issue.
Yep.
And the overall mystery of what's going on. I'm a little scared of a weekly X-Men comic. I'm not a huge fan of weekly comics in that, like, weekly individual series. Like, I think it's a lot, but it's a great story, and I think it will hook people. So
what I'm hoping, I don't know that this is what they're going to do, but in this book, we have four separate stories. Four, maybe even five. And my hope is that that's what they're going to do with the weekly story, is that each week either we get four stories in a 23-page book that are all sort of connecting to each other.
Like 52.
Like sort of in that manner.
Yeah.
Or, you know, four different books that each center on a different part of the team for a different thing that's going on.
Yeah, like each one would be a chapter.
I am so okay with either of those. I love the X-Men. The X-Men are my team. That's my superhero comic that I always loved. It was the thing that got me into superhero comics, and I haven't liked... I mean, I love X-Men Red.
Yeah, that X-Men Red was good.
X-Men Red is brilliant, and it's got some really clever points.
It's sad that a year after X-Men Red launched, we're talking about it in the past tense.
It's done.
But it is, yeah.
But the problem, even with X-Men Red, is it didn't feel like an X-book. Like, it's still, as much as it had X-Men in it,
I felt like it felt the most like an X-Men book to me.
That's fair. Well, it did not feel like the stuff that I cared for, personally.
Okay.
My world of X-Men, it feels like this. Like, the stuff that I really liked... when I got into it, you're going to be probably talking about 2006, you know, is when I was like, well, actually it was about when I got out of the X-Men.
I'm like an 80s guy, and this feels like 90s X-Men, like a fair amount.
It's definitely going to unplug eventually.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to pause.
Oh.
So we're back. But I was basically saying, like, the stuff that I remember, like, probably... my most fond era was probably 96 up to, I mean, actually maybe like 94 and up, right after the Jim Lee introduction.
Okay.
So that was that's pretty much my X-Men world. And this feels very, very comfortable in there. Some of the stories that everybody made fun of at the time that I really enjoyed, like Trail of Gambit era, like,
I was pretty much out of X-Men at that point, so I missed a lot of that stuff, although I'm aware of it. I thought this was cool because it was, like, first of all, like, you have three writers, one artist on this issue. I imagine the artist thing will shift as it goes on. And there's a mystery involving certain characters disappearing, and then something weird is going on with Madrox, which makes sense because one of the writers is Matthew Rosenberg, who was the writer of the most recent Madrox stuff. Yeah, it was cool. Intriguing. I'm anxious to see where it all goes.
Me too.
Yeah.
You probably want to talk about Exiles number 10.
I still love Exiles a lot. And Exiles number 10 is part two of the Arabian Nights storyline. So the Exiles, which are alternate universe versions of characters from mostly X-Men, but overall greater Marvel Universe stuff. I love it. I love this series so much. And my heart, literally, like, my heart cried human tears for baby Wolverine in this. I just think it's adorable and solid and Ahmed. He's just the best. And the art in this was really cool. You basically just, it's, they're in a world where everything's patterned after Arabian Nights. They're fighting Caliph Doom and his Mephisto genie, and it's just kind of fantasy mixed with X-Men, mixed with alternate realities, mixed with just really good, solid writing and art. And I think Exiles is a great series.
Awesome. Fantastic Four number 3 came out.
It did, and all of the members of the Fantastic Four, including members of the Fantastic Four you didn't know, were already members. Well, just one, but it was fun. It was like overall, like I didn't. It was kind of the villain I didn't really resonate with. But you know, it's like that thing we talk about when we talk about Superman. Just like,
yeah,
here's the most destructive force in the universe. It's like versus the last most destructive force.
Exactly.
Why don't we just have them fight?
Yeah, it's gonna rock the multiverse to its core.
That's your deal. You know,
for
let's
the third
just
time
team
this
them
week.
Up. Ultimate villain galactic fight.
Speaking
number
of
one.
Ultimate villains and galactic fights.
Man.
Let's talk about probably the coolest miniseries that has, I don't know, in forever.
Yeah.
God, I love this book.
Final issue of Cosmic Ghost
Rider. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 5 came out.
So fucking good.
If you haven't been reading this, I don't think you like comics.
Yeah, it was really, really good. It was really good.
It's Donny nuts.
Cates, who's the artist? The artist is Burnett. Dylan Burnett.
Can't get over it. It's
Cosmic
so good.
Ghost Rider is awesome.
Yeah.
And he does some really, really cool stuff. It's a great payoff for the series, and I loved it. And speaking of great payoffs.
Speaking of great things, Superman's
okay.
great.
So I have to preface this with DC has overused General Zod a lot lately to the point where it's like, oh, great. It's General Zod. Who cares? Like, just these kind of things. When you have these huge cosmic, like we were just talking about with the Fantastic Four thing, like when you have these, like they're all, it's almost generic, these kind of like cosmic level threats. But basically what Brian Bendis has done in the regular Superman comic is somehow the entire Earth was transported into the Phantom Zone, which is a place where Superman puts villains when he can't beat them. And, Superman has like a bad guy, Space Rock Man, who he can't beat, who also supposedly has destroyed Krypton. He's the reason Krypton blew up, and that's like a mystery that's going on. And
he's a real jerk.
Superman makes a deal thing. He creates this situation where the Earth gets taken out of the Phantom Zone, but he's stuck there forever fighting against this space guy who killed Krypton. And that setup sounds like super generic, super boring. It is anything but. And the last 4 pages of this comic and the scene where the Earth enlarges from tiny size. Amazing comics. Amazing comics. This is a really good book.
Good stuff. There's a Dr. Horrible one-shot that's out this week. It's picks up where the story left off in the TV show.
Yep. It made me realize I didn't remember anything about it. But
yeah,
it was
cool.
It's cute.
If that's your thing, it is pretty good.
It was less musical. I thought, although hard to pull off in a comic.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't try to pull off the musical thing. It was great. Whatever.
Yeah, it's called Best Friends Forever, and it's an adventure of Dr. Horrible and Captain... What's his
Hammer.
Name? Hammer.
Okay. Bitter Root number 1.
Ooh.
This... is something special.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I hate to say this because it's gonna simplify it and make it sound like it's not its own thing, but I feel like this is kind of the most Mignola thing that I've read that is way outside the Mignola universe. Maybe it's just because there was a Mignola cover to it.
It might be, and the Mignola cover was decent. So I thought this was the most interesting, I really liked it. It was, so this is, if you read the most recent Power Man and Iron Fist series, it was written by David Walker and drawn by Sanford Green, and it's the same creative team on Bitterroot, and Bitterroot is set in the 1920s Harlem, and it's a family of monster hunters. I really liked, what was cool about this was there was a ton of monster lore that I was completely unfamiliar with, and
I feel like it's its own thing. I don't know that this is an existing lore.
It might not be. I mean, I've never encountered any of it before. But it's this family that fights and contains a menace of of monsters, and it was just really cool. The characters were compelling. All of the characters were super unique, and
yeah,
and it, you could see it in the way that, like,
well defined,
like a really well done, like, hero team might be. This is like kind of just not superhero-y
exactly
at all,
and not, but, and like, without having to resort to being ultra colorful or anything with like crazy costumes. You literally just have, you know, these characters because they are so well written.
Yeah, which really is, really well, and the art is so good too.
And honestly, just, he's somebody who I follow pretty much anywhere. If he writes something, I'm gonna read it. His Shaft book ruled, and yeah, I literally cannot imagine someone writing a Shaft book that, like, Shaft is something that is, it's a movie, and it's specifically a cheesy movie and funny, and it's based on the soundtrack, and it's based on the settings in the 70s. Like, it, you can't do it. And the fact that he pulled it off and made it compelling and something that I gave a shit about is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, it's, but such,
it's
a triumph.
He's a good writer.
He is a very, very good writer.
Similar to, like, kind of what we were talking about with, like, Bendis, like, taking things that, like, in anyone else's hands are, like, just kind of generic. Not that necessarily this would be that thing, but, like, for me personally, I'm really interested in the jazz era in 1920s, and just the kind of, historically, I think it's a really interesting time, and narratively it's not something that's, a lot is done with, so it feels fresh and just cool, and you want to know more about the world. So Bitterroot number one from Image, I thought was a super strong debut, probably my favorite book of the week.
Yep, definitely, it's definitely up there. And one of the reasons that I have a hard time saying it's my favorite book of the week is because something came out this week that I've literally been waiting for maybe, I don't know, was it 20 years?
And it was also really
I've
good.
Been, like, really hoping to see this fucking thing come to fruition. And here it is. Finally, some sort of version of the unproduced William Gibson script for Alien 3.
Yeah.
Dark Horse made a comic that is basically William Gibson's version of Alien 3, taking all of the terrible, stupid, horrible, awful, goddamned murderous things that they did to Alien, to the Alien franchise in part 3, and fixing it. So we have, Hicks is still alive, Newt is still alive.
It's like a clear, direct sequel to Alien.
God.
Like, it was really strong. It was really good.
I've been hearing about this thing for,
it makes me glad I never saw the actual Alien 3, because I apparently it sucks.
No, Alien 3 makes me crazy. Just because Aliens is my favorite movie of all time, and Alien 3 really does a terrible job of just, like, nixing all of the things that the characters went through. Just are wiped out in an instant at the beginning of part 3.
Wait, which one's your favorite? Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
Aliens.
The second one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I like the shooty shooty. I can't help it. Alien is a brilliant movie, but I have seen Aliens more than any other movie.
See, I like,
period.
I like Alien because I like the scariest thing is the thing you don't see.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the
oh,
thing,
clearly it is,
like,
a better film.
Oh, I don't know that it's necessarily
that. I would almost guarantee that if you were to pull it apart and, like, go through it on a, like, a film student kind of way, that Alien is better.
We're talking more visceral, like, this is our favorite, and I'm just
Aliens,
like,
is way better.
Yeah. I mean, and it's just, like, what it comes down to. Can I talk about this one?
Yeah, please.
So Quantum Age, which is the Black Hammer miniseries, Jeff Lemire and Wilfredo Torres, which is basically like a Legion of Superheroes riff within the world of Black Hammer, came out. There's not a ton to say about it other than I freaking love Black Hammer and anything that comes out in this world and universe I love. And this has a direct tie to the main series, including cameos from two characters that are in the regular Black Hammer series, and super fun. I liked it.
All right. And on the thing of Joss Whedon things, we've got a Firefly comic out this week.
Very much a Firefly
comic. It's got Firefly in it, and it's a comic.
It's an ongoing series. It ends with a cliffhanger. It's not a one shot like the Dr. Horrible thing. And it is, if you're a fan of Firefly, you're gonna want to check it out. It's all the things that you would expect and love to love from a spy, and it's well drawn and well written.
Fire, and there's flies. It's
fire,
just like,
there's rain.
I've seen fire and I've seen flies. Here, talk about Skyward.
Skyward, honestly, Skyward is in danger of losing me,
yeah.
And it's a bummer because I loved the first arc of this, has gone in a direction that I am kind of like not feeling, and I'm gonna stick with it through this arc, regardless. The cover is amazing. The art is great.
I love the murderous dragonflies, but the things that are surrounding it are a little extraordinary.
It went from sci-fi grounded strongly in physics and reality to sci-fi way less grounded in physics and reality.
Definitely
and,
50s monster movie
yeah,
stuff started creeping in.
Just and narratively, I'm not feeling it in the way that I did before, although it still is one of the best drawn comics, and there are continuing narrative elements that are pulled from the first arc, and there is an overall story, so we'll see where it goes. The first arc was so good that there's no way I will walk away from it, but I am feeling this way less than I did before.
All right, the Black Order number one. I believe this is a limited series. It's about all of Thanos's hench folk.
I can say nothing about this.
I read it, and I can kind of say nothing about it. I don't really.
I read it too.
It doesn't feel like anything that I care that much about. They're just not characters that I give a shit about. It's like if an entire book was just about Skrulls doing Skrull stuff, I'd be like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of those things where it's like, for whatever reason, like Disney decided that these four characters were important enough to put in a film. And it's a film I haven't seen. So that's like really the biggest thing. Like, I still haven't seen Avengers Infinity War. I'm sorry. And I kind of read the Hickman run where they came from. And like, I don't know. I just don't like it's if you're into Thanos and the Black Order, then you get it because it's for you.
Yes.
They made a comic specifically for you.
Specifically for you.
Just for you.
Yeah, it
just
really...
Just in time for Christmas.
Didn't really do it for me either. Here. Yeah.
Oh, Weatherman. So Weatherman number six came out, and I do want to say this is the wrap-up of the first arc, and total payoff. Total payoff. Man, this comic is freaking... Why am I all of a sudden not saying fuck? But it's good.
Fuck.
It's freaking fuck. This comic is great. Jody LaHuip. I don't know. Sorry, I'm making fun of your name. I shouldn't do that. I don't know how to pronounce it, though, so I have to do that. Nathan Fox on art. He is awesome. I love that guy. Dave Stewart on colors. None better. Or some maybe as good, but none better. And the Weatherman. We talked about every issue of this comic. I've talked about how much I loved every issue of this comic. So this is just the end of the first arc, which means the trade will be out soon. If you've been sleeping on it, get the Weatherman trade when it comes out. It's good. The payoff is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's more to come.
Okay.
In a way that you want to know what's up.
Also, Captain America 5.
Yeah.
Great comic. Yeah. Has good. A lot of Taskmaster.
It does. Well, it has a... really good Taskmaster fight.
I love the character of Taskmaster. There was a limited series, I think like 10 years ago, that was really fun with Taskmaster, and I think I've really enjoyed him ever since. I do like him in Captain America, and also Coates is finally really like just stranglehold on this series. It's good. It's real good.
Yeah, the overall storyline and what's going on is really good. The thing with Taskmaster is weird for me because I feel like Taskmaster is one of those characters that kind of like is really hard to do a cool story with, because basically like his superpower is like that he would beat anybody. So if he gets into a fight and gets beat, it's kind of like, why does that happen? He's like, his whole power is that you can't beat him. So it's weird for me, but like it was a cool fight.
I always
fight.
Felt that way about Gladiator as a character.
The Shi'ar guy. Yeah.
Where like his whole shtick is that like he's just stronger than you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Like, it's
kind
of his deal.
Forgot about
whoever
that.
You are. He's just kind of stronger than you.
Yep. Yeah. So
yes,
yeah. Daredevil. But I read
Daredevil.
Daredevil is there's a current storyline going on involving Matt Murdock having a brother and a lot of people, including maybe Taskmaster. Does he show up in that too?
Not in this one.
Not in that. But there's a bunch of Daredevil classic villains, and yeah, everybody's trying to kill Daredevil.
Yes, they are, including everybody's favorite Stiltman.
Oh man, does it have Lady Stiltman?
No, I'm afraid Lady Stiltman is dead.
Lady Stiltman is so vastly superior to regular Stiltman that
I feel like the best Punisher story ever involved Stiltman. I think it was when he died, they had there was a big villain funeral for him at like the bar with no name.
Yeah.
And basically,
I think I remember this.
The Punisher just sort of walks in.
Oh, and just shoots everybody.
No, he comes in and he's like, "Oh, you're just gonna shoot all of us right here in one of these places?" And he's like, "No, I've already poisoned your drinks. Bye."
Nice.
Everybody's dead.
Yeah, that is good.
So yes, Vault of Spiders.
Vault of Spiders.
So you get more of a backstory.
Yeah.
With this, it's the little old lady. Spider-Man.
Just why is
Come
that
on,
a comic? Why is that a thing that like I don't know.
The Spectacular Spider-Man.
It's Aunt May with Spider-Man's powers, and I guess it's just like this. But, just felt like it's like let's create a bunch of Spider-Man versions so that they can get wasted in the Spider-Gwen crossover.
I mean, this one is obviously intentionally silly.
One,
I thought it was
that
fun.
One was. There was one where it's Captain Stacy as Spider-Man, and then
the fact that she doesn't have wheat cakes anywhere to throw is like I think is a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, spider cakes. And then there's one with the Spider's Man, which is the spiders who decided that they. It's like Peter Parker's personality.
So
imbued into a host of spiders who think they are a man.
Which I was confused by because I thought that this was the Thousand, but apparently it is not. So this is not the Thousand from the Garth Ennis run.
Oh, okay.
Which was the Thousand was a bunch of spiders. So the bully, one of the bullies that was made up specifically for this story in this alternate version. Eats the spider that bit Peter Parker and then dissolves into 1,000 different spiders. And he becomes a bunch of spiders and then
that's
reforms.
This Spider-Man?
That is not this one.
Okay,
that is
that's the Thousand.
The Thousand.
Okay.
This one is Man of Spiders.
Okay.
Or Spider's Man. Yes.
Spider's Man. And this is a Spider-Man who is made of spiders.
He's made of spiders.
And
he
is
likes to eat
people. A tragic anti-hero who is very... He has the mind of Peter Parker, but none of the not being a spider. I don't know. It's just whatever. It's if you're following Spider-Geddon, you follow Spider-Man, this might be the thing that you get.
I will say Vault of Spiders number one was much better than this one.
Vault of Spiders number one was good. This was not as
this
good.
This was not quite as good as that, but it is still a fun, like, three stories of nonsense spider people.
That design for the Spider-Man is just stupid.
She looks like there was a strawberry shortcake, the guy with the mustache and strawberry shortcake. She's got the baker hat and like
Jesus, yeah.
She reminds me of that guy, the purple pie man.
Yes, yes. That's exactly
like
Spider-Man
as the purple
pie
man. Yes. The purple pie man.
Before you talk about that, I'm going to talk about Supergirl number 24, which it has full art by Evan Doc Shaner, who is my favorite superhero artist of the moment. Supergirl is on a revenge kick for the destruction of Krypton, and she and Krypto are in space, and this is their continuing adventures, but this issue has a super cool, awesome cameo from Ambush Bug, who is probably my favorite DC, top three DC characters. I love Ambush Bug so much, and apparently for some reason in modern continuity he lives in a space bar and does vaudeville. I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. It's cool. The art's great. The story was interesting. I was down with it. I more for I'm not a, like a every issue of Supergirl kind of person, but I am every issue that Doc Shaner draws. So I was down, and especially because it had Ambush Buck.
Yeah, Unstoppable Wasp out this week.
Good.
I think I finally figured out what this book is. I think when I was reading it before, I was like, I cannot figure out who this is aimed at. And I think this is sort of a teen plus kind of world,
yeah,
which is what the rating is. So I guess that would make sense because it's not a kid's comic. It's got a very soft edged style to it, but it's not overly comic. It's not overly jokey, which surprises me. Like it has that kind of soft edge style like Moon Girl or like Squirrel Girl, but isn't as jokey and funny. It's more superhero-y. So I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I think it's good, especially if you're looking to get something for somebody who's in that like 12 to 15 demo.
So this issue is a team up of the old Wasp and the new Wasp, and they go to Unlimited Wrestling and they get to see some supervillains wrestle, and there's an adventure.
Okay, we have saved like things that are untalkable about.
Oh,
so
really?
So there's Mr. Miracle.
Oh, Mr. Miracle. So Mr. Miracle ended number 12 of the miniseries. Yeah, it's hard to talk about.
Yeah, Hawkman happened.
Okay, no, Hawkman was good.
Was it?
It was good.
I didn't read it. I'm sorry.
I put it in here, and I'm sorry it ended up in this order where we're talking about stuff that maybe wasn't the best stuff of the week at the end, but Hawkman was good. Hawkman and the Atom in the subatomic universe, and when they're in the subatomic universe, the Atom's ability to grow and shrink comes into play in a really cool way because he can be a giant in the subatomic realm.
Aww.
And also it was just a subatomic superhero adventure, and it was fun. I thought
it was cool.
A fun
awesome.
Comic. Catwoman was the penultimate of the first arc, and she's still fighting that character from the first issue who has a fake nose and is gross. and the art's really good. And
The Flash
was he's
very fast.
He goes to the Gorilla City, and actually, he goes to like France,
and he gets gorilla biscuits.
He ends up in the Gorilla City at the end of this issue, and I think that overall the arc will be about Gorilla City. But he fights these two villains, and there's something about his girlfriend. But,
I actually really dig the art in this Flash.
Yeah, the
book.
Art in the Flash was really good. It was Rafa Sandoval who is.
Oh, it is Sandoval. That would
yeah,
make sense.
Yeah, and he's really good.
God, I love
he was
him.
Doing Green Lantern most recently, and I actually think that DC is. By not putting him on one of their major books, making a huge mistake. I mean, I guess Flash is one of their major books, but it doesn't feel like a major book. It feels confusing overall. And I think
but whenever you bring Gorilla City into it, yeah, I'm back on board.
It's Gorilla City, and there's a mystery. Also, there was a new number one from DC called Electric Warriors. Now, this is a weird one because part of me is like, this is DC doing that thing where they have a name that's about to like slip from copyright, so they just like
yeah.
slap it on a new series. There used to be a comic called Electric Warrior that was kind of like felt like a creator owned, but it wasn't from the 80s. And this is actually very continuity heavy, and I think that was what hurt it. It's set in the future, so it's like
I thought it felt like Commandy.
Well, it's specifically a bridge between the Commandy and the Legion of Superheroes.
Right.
So there are like clear things and kind of like twisty things. It's written by Steve Orlando, who I like a lot, but ultimately I just feel like this is a miniseries that's
yeah.
being called an ongoing series.
Oh God, I don't even I mean, no, it's
oh,
not
it's a
on,
six
it
issue
is
miniseries,
six.
So it's
yeah.
a miniseries.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they just did that to hold their copyrights.
Yeah, if you like the idea of a superhero book set in DC's very continuity heavy future, bridging the gap between Commandy and the Legion of Superheroes, then Electric Warriors is for you. One thing that we skipped over,
and also the other thing is that it's like hard sci-fi.
Yeah. Oh, it's wicked.
Like,
yeah, wicked.
Hard sci-fi
with like a very specific Superman-centric through line.
Yeah.
But I actually really hate the character design in it, and that's the thing that pulled me out of it the most. It's like I kind of need something that I want to look at. And these designs are so busy and weird that it just was like something I didn't want to, like when DC put up piping on everyone's costume, I was just kind of like, I don't care about looking at what they do because they look dumb. But speaking of things that don't look dumb and ending it on a high, did we use up all the tape?
Nope. I screwed up. Sorry, everybody.
We're back.
Yeah.
There was Wonder Woman 58 is out, and that is the new creative team of writer G. Willow Wilson and artist Carrie Nord. Carrie Nord, some may remember as a artist on a recent Dark Horse relaunch of, or relatively recent Dark Horse, that's probably 10 years old at this point, of Conan. So I thought this was a really strong take on Wonder Woman, and I really liked the art. It's got ties to the Geoff Johns Justice League kind of continuity with the Wonder Woman's sister, but it also has really cool mythological beasts, and just the art is awesome in it. And there's a new thing going on with Ares that is interesting.
That
and
sounds
I, and I was intrigued by it.
Yeah,
I would highly recommend checking it out.
Wonder Woman keeps being great, so.
Yeah, I've loved a lot of the most recent. There was a couple, there was a recent like kind of mini arc that I liked, but
yeah, the Witching Hour thing was great.
I think that DC has kind of, yeah, Witching Hour was good, and then there was that two-parter with Aztec and the Aztec gods, and that was cool. But I'm psyched for this, and I'm psyched for Aquaman, which is going to start up with a new creative team really soon, too.
Yeah, that so, I'm super looking forward to.
So DC, with despite some things that I'm not so into Batman, there are some things that are looking really promising. Superman's great. Wonder Woman's looking great. Green Lantern's looking great. Aquaman's looking great.
Yeah, they're really doing it. And I like what they're doing with Batman. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I like the last two
I'm
things.
Hit or miss. I'm
I know you have problems with
it.
I'm
hit or miss.
But I dug it.
Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Yeah.
Come to the shop. Shop us online, coastcitycomics.com. Follow us on the internet at Coast City Comics, at the Funbox Monster Emporium. We've got all of this week's books listed on our website for sale. Use the code subscribe. You get 25% off if you order $30 worth of books.
And that's also it. In the store, cool new stuff. As a person who is in the store every week, I noticed all the time, I noticed that there's like constantly new stuff. And
constantly. Piles
constantly
of new stuff.
Piles of new stuff.
Oh, and especially.
They're not necessarily in piles, though. They're pretty well organized.
The things that are in piles, though, are our dollar books and quarter books, which are expanding exponentially. Like some sort of terrifying Star Trek alien. It's awesome. I've got...
You mean like Tribbles?
Yeah, like Tribbles. We've bought so many collections. We bought 40 long boxes, and I've been piling through it, and it's mostly going into the dollar and quarter bins.
Huh.
So get on that. There's some really cool stuff. I mean, I just put in I literally put a coverless first appearance of Poison Ivy in the dollar bin last week.
From the 1960s.
Yep.
From the Wonderworld of the 1960s.
Yeah, so I mean, there's like really cool stuff going in there, but it was coverless, and I was like, I don't care.
Also, I think Bob Brown drew it. Yeah, that guy's not that great. It's still the first Poison Ivy.
Fair enough. All right, so that's about it. That's my story. Come get some books.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.